College football fans, welcome back to the College Ball Show. He's Marshall, I'm Chris, and we're here to break down what on paper looked like a stacked, stacked card, like we'd say in boxing, a stacked week with marquee matchups, rank versus rank, and all that good stuff. And for the most part, it lived up to it. It definitely lived up to it. We also had some upsets or almost upsets. Some games that went a little too far deep in the game. LSU, USC, some lackluster moments, especially LSU down the stretch of that game. They got it done, but really interesting stuff, man. Obviously, the Ohio State, Notre Dame coming down to the wire. Same with Clemson, FSU. Washington State, Oregon State. We're going to get into it, of course. Look like Bama. Bama kind of looked like the late 2000s, early 2010s team against Ole Miss. So we'll get into all this stuff in just a short little bit. We do have an interesting week five, though. I mean, we got the ranked versus ranked, right? I think there's four of them. But we also have some tight, interesting kind of games flying under the radar. We call them hardcore barn burners. And then, of course, we're going to look at some of this against the spread, because I have three written down right now that I'm thinking, are we sure that team's going to beat this team by that much? Anyway, if this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show, welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadope radio. You don't have to go to Blog Talk and Rope-A-Dope and download the show directly there. You can find this College Ball Show under the Rope-A-Dope Radio banner on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio. Download the podcast app, Google Podcasts, Player FM, Podbay, and a whole lot of other places. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com and sports news. And one more thing, sign up for DirecTV Stream and save $30 plus add DirecTV Sports Pack, NFL Network, NFL Red Zone, SEC Network, and Big Ten Network. Stream with no strings, live sports, news, and on-demand, no annual contract, no hidden fees, no satellite dish, no cable box, limited time. For a limited time, save $30 on DirecTV Stream. Choose the DirecTV Stream package that's right for you, starting at $74.99. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, Marshall. Man, what a week it was. Like I said, sure, we kind of thought Oregon, just looking at the point spread, that Oregon was going to handle business, and they stomped them, no doubt about it. We kind of felt like Penn State was going to win that, or not kind of. We knew they were going to win the game. It's just a matter of how much. That plus 15 didn't work out for me. But beyond that, even like in a game like Utah, they jumped out on that 14-0 and just held on to it. Bama kind of did, they got down, then they got up and just never let them back in. But that Clemson, Florida State game, Ohio State, Notre Dame game, I mean, there was a lot of fun week. And, you can match them up on paper, but just in general, even beyond the ranked versus ranked squads, we had a damn good week four, man.
Yeah, we really did. It was a quality weekend of college football that we expected, and we got it. Again, there is those weekends where, like, when you look at the top 10, every top 10 team won by like 25 or 30 points. Now, obviously, when a top 10 team is playing a ranking team next to me, you don't expect it, but we do have those blowout weekends. Like you said, that wasn't the case. The Notre Dame Ohio State game, man, that thing like literally came down to the end. And then Notre Dame was like, hey, let's try a new strategy, Chris, where we're going to play defense with 10 men. I was having
back to back,
yeah.
Not just one.
Well, we did a softball. I coached softball in Texas, and we had like a softball theme movie night. So I was checking on my phone, just like checking the updates. And so when I left there, I was watching the last play of the game, and I was like, man, that's a really weird defensive system or a defensive play call that Notre Dame chose, because when you watch the last play of the Notre Dame Ohio State game, you see there's like no Notre Dame defensive lineman covering like the left side of Ohio State's offensive line. So I had not heard originally that they forgot to leave a person out. So I was like, well, no shit, Ohio State won. I would ran over there too. Because if you watch the replay, there was like three people from the covering the left side line. Like there was no one on the other side of the defensive line for Notre Dame. I was like, man, like that's strange. And even the run itself was like a bang bang, like huge play. They still had to work for it, but
yeah, still had to grind, right?
But what a mental mistake. And this is not an NFL show because I could talk about many NFL mistakes. But man, that was one of those mistakes where like on top of a crazy weekend of football, college and pro, that. A coach is like Freeman today came out and said, man, if that happens again, we've told our players like, hey, jump up, raise your hands, call it out, do something crazy. It's like, if you're the head coach of
timeouts.
Yeah. So, but that's one of those mistakes where like as a coach who I'm not saying I coach Notre Dame football, but some stuff that when a coach makes a mistake or players make a mistake, some of it's just inexcusable for the high level you're playing at. If you're Notre Dame, that's one of those mistakes where, man, like, there's really no good excuse for that. Like, you had 10 guys on the field. Like, that's one of those, like, man, and that sucks, too, because, like you said, Chris, that was one of the games that delivered this weekend. That I mean, it came down to 1 yard of one play. And, man, just, like, if that guy's on the field, like, maybe Notre Dame wins. Like, ooh, that could change the trajectory of the season. But you're right, a brilliant football game. I'll save my Ryan Day comments here for a second later. But
second half, I mean, I wouldn't call it a brilliant football game.
Well, just with the ending, you're right.
But yeah, the second half got competitive, and it was back-to-back plays, not just one.
True.
It was back-to-back plays with 10 people on the field, which is kind of crazy that they stuffed them the first time with only 10. But, you know, McCord really made some plays down the stretch. You could see that Marvin Harrison, after he got hurt, you know, I thought it was going to be a full-on high ankle sprain. Like, it looked like his shit wasn't going to come back in the game. And he wasn't all that effective after. And they did get the running game going. They didn't necessarily use it enough, I'd say. But I did – what I saw out of Notre – obviously, these are two solid-ass defenses. We'll see if they're elite-level defenses because we got to kind of look at these offenses as well. But I would have liked to see Sam Hartman given the ball, like the kids say, let Sam cook. You know, they should have – I mean, they went out and got this chef, right, the top-notch chef in the world, and they're not going to let him cook. They're not going to let him come up with the menu items. Like you got to put the ball in his hand and just do a little more. I'm not saying throw 42 times, right? I'm not saying that. And down the stretch, they had the lead. So I get it. And they did open it up minorly. But if you got the guy, you might as well. I did like the physicality though. 39 runs, 176 on the ground, 4.5 a clip. I did like what I saw down the stretch out of Notre Dame, just kind of playing bully ball, honestly, against Ohio State. So you wonder, you know, when you look at future matchups with Penn State and, of course, Michigan, that they're, you know, plethora. We talk about wide receivers on Ohio State. Well, you can talk about running backs on Michigan. So it really felt like Notre Dame was going to win that game. Once they leveled up with them and got ahead. But like you said, that stuff is rough down the stretch. It really, really rough. So I got to give credit to the young quarterback as well. He made some big plays under fire. And but yeah, back-to-back 10, you know, men on the field, that's rough. But we'll see. Like I said, I would have liked to see Sam Cook a little bit more. Maybe it wouldn't have came down to that last little second. But yeah, that was a great game. And let's go to, even though it wasn't rank versus rank, the way it played out, you know, it probably should have been a rank versus rank. I understand Clemson has two losses. I'm not saying put them up in the top 15 because it could have, would have, should have. Could have, would have, should have to get coaches fired. He's not getting fired. But, you know, I'm a Minnesota Vikings fan. And this year in just the franchise history, could have, would have, should have. So I'm not trying to give him too much credit, but wow. Like, this year Clemson just can't get out of their way with these little errors. And it wasn't as sloppy as that Duke game, okay, the two fumbles, you know, within the five and all that. But they had this game in control. Now, we can't say, because there's plenty of time on the clock, that they had it won. They should have really – I mean, they just – you know, when you're up 24-17, you score a touchdown, you get up, you have this great 11-play drive. They're grinding the run. They get them a three and out. And then, speaking of grinding on the run, they run for like 46 yards down to the 29. And with this kicker who's like a walk-on backup, right, I'm not saying they were in field goal range yet, Marshall, okay? But you're just – you're in place to really get up by two scores. That's what happened. And then off-the-edge pressure, fumble, scoop and score. It's a tie game. You still – then it was kind of a punt fest there, and you still managed to – have a good enough drive, burn some clock, and, you know, with, like, under 2 minutes, that's for sure, you line up for, what was it, 28-yard field goal or something, 29-yard field goal, Marshall Welts. And, like I said, I understand not only he's a walk-on, but he's a backup. Just came in, just like, hey, here I am playing college football. You can't trust – college kickers, but you really can't trust guys like this in the scenario, not just him personally. But wow, then you missed the field goal, Marshall, and they turned it over on downs. You would have won the game. I mean, it's just like right now the Clemson Tigers coulda, woulda, shoulda, man. Coulda, woulda, shoulda. So I'm not going to say, oh, Dabo can't coach anymore and all that junk. The only thing I think Dabo's making a mistake of, and this is something I've been, you know, consistent with, is the transfer portal. I guess you could have transfer portaled in a kicker or something. I don't know.
I'm honestly happy the kicker missed, because I watched that whole game. And I just – and again, I'm anti-Dabo, so maybe this is my anti-showing. But to hear about how they – I think they said it five times. This is one of the stories of the year. How this kicker is, because he was the backup at Clemson for 4 years behind their better kicker, and he moves to New York City. He's about to start working for this new insurance company, and then Dabo's like, hey, man, our kicker this year is bad. We're going to bring you back. And he had a year of eligibility left. Like, it's the best story in college football. No, what, did a backup kicker
during
now
that
a kicker?
Game it was. I didn't hear shit about that during the week, so let's keep that in perspective. During the game they talked about.
Yeah, just during the game. Well, yeah, but when – and Sean McDonough is like a really good announcer. I love him. But just to hear it over like five times in the game, man, coolest story ever. Coolest story ever. Sean's parents. I don't care. It's a backup kicker for 4 years and you sign him because your other kicker sucks. Who gives a shit? Anyways, that kid missed and I was laughing. I won't lie. So what, aside from my hatred against Dabo, the football game itself, I am surprised how it slowed down. Because I really thought in the first half, and Clemson does get shit because Dabo's offense at times can be a little old, they pass the ball really well. That's kind of been one of the knocks on Dabo, is that his wide receivers could be better. But for whatever they were doing, they actually moved the ball really efficiently. Like, I actually think that Florida State's secondary is not that good because Clemson was making them look bad. They really were. And then in the second half of that game, the offenses really did slow down. I'm not quite sure why. Especially
Clemson was nasty though.
And then Florida State, who was moving the ball efficiently too, they didn't score an offensive touchdown until overtime. So they had to scoop and score. But it's like, man, I guess I should say whatever defensive adjustments were made were done properly, because that game really did blog itself down. It became just a punt fest, as you said. But hey, if you're Florida State. Again, I think their secondary would get exposed against some better passing teams. But aside from that, you're 4-0. This is the first time they'd beat Clemson in, I believe, 11 years.
Seven tries.
Okay, seven. Okay, yeah, and seven they're in a row. They're moving in the right way. And again, this is a team that Mike Norvell took over a handful of years ago.
Yeah, they can get better this year. You know.
Yeah, and they were kind of a joke because they it seems like they'd shuffle a coach every 2 to 3 years, and they couldn't really find their rhythm. And Norvell came from Memphis, where he did a respectable job, and now I think he's trending upwards. So they're doing good. They're obviously able to get the monkey off the back of Clemson, who has kind of ran the ACC for a handful of years now. So credit to them. Again, I was surprised the game slowed down, but at the end of the day, Travis made some plays. Now, I can't rip the Clemson quarterback that much because I actually thought he did pretty well. It's just the offense just kind of got bogged down. But, yeah, that was a very fun game. Like you said, anytime there's a college football game in overtime, you can't complain about that. But, yeah, the kicker story, is
great
he going to get
– Great catch in overtime, too.
Oh, yeah, that was a sick catch. Yes, you're right.
And also on that run play action, they should have just handed the ball off, dude. Hand the ball off there. It was open. Instead, you're going to try to do something on short yards across the field and all that. That's where I will say something. But Clemson wasn't out talented on this field. And no. Like I said, coulda, woulda, shoulda, all that stuff. They didn't get the job done, but they had control of that game and they fucked up. And just like that, I'm not going to blame Dabo for the quarterback. Now, you could say, well, why don't you just call a run play in general? Okay, that's fair. But when they lost yardage on that play where Shipley ran into the kick or to the quarterback and it fumbled, they lost yardage. That screwed up the drive. That's not Dabble. You know what I mean? And Shipley's one of the best running backs in the whole country, let alone the
ACC. He is good. Yeah.
He's great. He's beyond good. And I don't blame Dabo for fucking someone bumping into somebody. That barely ever happens on a snap like that. So it is what it is. But yeah, man, that Florida State, man, they just keep grinding. Like I said, those coulda, woulda, shouldas in both games. You could say, well, they could have been, they should, but they weren't. They didn't. They stayed in there and they handled business. And they got the job done. It wasn't pretty, but yeah, they can get better. As this season goes on, you see that with teams a lot. All right, let's get to Bama Ole Miss. Leading up to it, you had Lane Kiffin. I know you're gonna handle it with kid hands because it's Kiffin, but he was talking shit on Twitter per usual. He also before had some mental health issues with a player that he wasn't too kind to, but we won't get into that because it's Lane Kiffin, so we're gonna treat him with kids' hands, you know what I mean? But Bama, back to their bread and butter from the late 2000s, early 2010s, running the ball, playing great defense. I think they got like 5 sacks. The young quarterback had a bad throw in the end zone early in the game, but he tightened up. He made the plays that they needed to make. And it's not like they ran run check over them. They didn't, it wasn't like they had 250 yards or something like that. But they got the job done. And once they, kind of contained themselves, got the lead because they were down. They just played Bama old school football and grinded it out. And I think this was like the lowest output on offense since Lane Kiffin came to Oxford.
I'm not going to defend and make excuses, but it still comes back to the point where Jackson Dart is not an elite college football quarterback. He made some passes. Like, yes, you should get better as an athlete. Like, that's my job as a coach in high school, to make my girls get better. Like, that is your goal as an athlete, to improve. But he still possesses no true aerial threat. And obviously, Bama was pissed off. They wanted to win after the embarrassment they did at USF. And there's just – you can't – like, when you're playing a good team, you got to be able to throw the ball. And that's still – like, Ole Miss's defense has improved a lot since Kiffin's got there. But offensively, Dart, he's not – he is a guy that can beat teams outside the top 10 or outside top 20, okay? He's a good quarterback, but he cannot beat elite-level teams because there was just no offensive threats in the whole second half of that game. When they were down 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, they were trying to make a pass in the end zone where you had a guy like legit wide open. That's a throw you can't miss as a college quarterback. So I will say Ole Miss should have been up at half by about like 10 because Alabama came into that first half sleepwalking. They were hungover. They looked like the Bama team that had played Texas, that had played USF. They were looking sluggish. Milroy was looking like trash. And
they're not an elite team either. Like you said, they're not capable of being elite. Well, this isn't even elite.
And they missed their chance. And, of course, when you miss your chance against Bama, who is in Tuscaloosa, and I'm not saying Bama looks like world beaters either, but you miss the chance to be up by at least 7 or 10, and then you come out, you had a blocked punt that resulted in the ball being on the 2, which even Alabama went backwards for. But it was just a game where you know, you have those moments as a sports fan where you watch the game, you're like, man, I know we're winning right now, but we should be up by 10. And Ole Miss was up 1. And in the second half, you just, Jackson Dart showcased that you're a B-level quarterback to me. But yeah, you need a multi-purpose threat guy because they have their own game. They got a defense, but they can't throw the ball. So, credit to Bama. You locked down, Kiffin, which I know those two always talk trash to each other. So, and I think they have had that bond and respect, but hey, Saban is yet to lose to Kiffin. Kiffin keeps trying, but, they weren't going to get it done. So, maybe Bama found a little bit of a rhythm for them. But Ole Miss, you got LSU coming up, so forget about this one. Try to move on to the next one. But, hey, hats off to Bama. And maybe now, Chris, that Milroy quarterback has a little more confidence. You know, obviously, to get benched in the last game is your backup struggle, and you come out to struggle. Like, it wasn't too pretty, and I could only imagine I doubt that kid has social media turned on because Tuscaloosa, I'm sure it's a pretty high bar set there. But maybe that kid now has a little bit of confidence to – spur him on the right direction. Because, again, this is the first time Saban's had a guy who's not like, oh, he's going to be a first-round pick. Like, it is probably tough on him.
First time in a long time.
And I bet he's probably getting a lot of shit on social media because that's how evil our country can be. But at least he, for his sake, he had a decent second half. He's getting better. He's probably going to continue to improve, again, as athletes should. So hats off to him. And maybe, you know, he can maybe take a couple of deep breaths and work on getting better at Bama. And, again, I still think though that that side of the conference is open. Like that, it's not a guarantee that Bama's going to win that side of the SEC. But yeah, nice job, and yeah, Kiffin, get rid of Dart, find someone new, please. I know you can't during the middle of the season, but I wish you would.
Yeah, I was going to say because you know ultimately it was Kiffin's decision to bring in Dart.
True, so, yes, you're really right.
He's got to lay in it.
You're right.
You can't lay on the ground or on the couch. You got to lay in the bed. So Oregon stomps the Buffaloes. The only game they looked mediocre in was that Texas Tech game, correct? Otherwise, they looked dominant. They came in averaging 50. I guess they, you know, put their average down a little bit. But at half, they had a lot of points at half. So true. That was pretty easy. Penn State didn't have a lot of points at half, but man, they, you know, kept grinding Iowa, offensively. I mean, the quarterback they brought in from Michigan has a lot of experience playing, no doubt about it, but, he's
doesn't
not,
mean you're good.
And he's not healthy either. And cause he hurt himself at training camp. And I'm not saying they'd have a better offense if he was healthy. I'm not saying that, but when he ran outside the pocket, I was like, oh my God. Yeah, he's hurt, dude. He is hurt because there's no acceleration whatsoever. It's just, you know, 3 years in running now with this Hawkeye offense or whatever you want to call it. I don't know. I think it's kind of a disgrace if you call it offense, actually. I mean, if this was 1913, I think Iowa would win the national championship, but it's not. It's not 1913. Penn State got the job done. Utah got up 14-0, hang on against UCLA. Still no signs of their star quarterback. Like I said, the youngster's getting a lot of playing time this year. It's going to help them next year overall. But UCLA, I think versus a ranked opponent, I think it's the first time they've scored 7 in a long, long time. So those were, well, Penn State dominated in the whiteout, no big deal there. We kind of assumed that. But Oregon, Penn State dominated. Utah did what they had to do considering they're still missing their guy under center.
If Cam Rising is not back this week, there's no way. I don't think that team can win in Oregon State. We'll get to that for predictions. But for that Utah game, man, you scored 1 touchdown and you won against a ranked team on offense. That's a good, gritty win. They had a gritty win at Baylor. They had a gritty win at home. Again, the first play of the game was a pick 6. You're thinking, okay, this is a typical Utah runaway. But and you said Clemson became a punt fest. A punt fest is times like it was a punt fest on steroids. So Utah, again, I will tip my cap to Whittingham. I know I'm a big fan of him. I don't rip him often. But hey, your players are 4-0. You've had actually a pretty overall hard schedule. If you look at who they've played, they've now managed to beat a ranked UCLA. They beat Florida, who's not a joke. And you also beat Baylor, who's respectable. And you're doing that without really your star quarterback. So I do think that's credit to him as a coach. He's finding ways to grit out these wins. But offensively, man, you're really missing Cam Rising. I think this Johnson kid is doing okay as a backup. But much like, you know, I've been kind of talking a lot about quarterbacks this show. We do need to talk about that Washington guy because he might be the best guy in the country. But, hey, you won the game. Your defense literally almost pitched a shutout. You got a solid win. Your rankings are right there. You got a good squad. But, and like you said last week, Chris, they keep saying that, Cam Rising, questionable to come back.
I thought for sure he was coming back this week, dude. So, I mean, he practiced and everything.
Are they playing like the long game? Like, you know, you'd assume obviously he still has a chance to play this year. Right. But hell, I even thought when they played Baylor 3 weeks ago, like, hey, or 2.5 weeks ago now, like, hey, there's a chance.
Yeah.
But it does make one wonder, like, what, and I know obviously college coaches.
How long are they
going to
get away with milking it?
Yeah, or what is Whittingham saying in press conferences? Like, I know that it's not quite the NFL where you have to, like, release your SAS reports and, like, reporters aren't going to hound you. I'm sure they are in Utah, but it's like, man, what is Whittingham telling the media or people every week that, like, dude, okay, coach, like, how's your guy looking?
Because every week I stayed away from it based off this, and they still covered, you know? I could have got him for 6.5, but I stayed away because I just didn't know, you know?
Yeah, maybe he's coming back eventually, but dude, Oregon State -3. Oh man, if I feel like I should almost just unload on that because, we'll get there. But
yeah,
man,
we're not there yet.
Yeah, though, okay, buddy. Yeah, hey, a gritty win. But I will quickly say, obviously, this score was not, huge game. To break down. But I will say, if we're talking about quarterbacks this show, what Penix is doing in Washington, dude, that dude is putting on a Heisman type of show so far. I know they kind of they pulled off a little bit, but 59-32 against Cal, pretty much every game Washington has played this year, their receivers have torched like every DB land. That's a good ass offense. Yeah, I know a lot of people probably say Ohio State's got the best receivers in the country. It might be 1A, 1B with them in Washington because that Washington team. They've been getting out to big leads and kind of pulling the dogs back a little bit. But, dude, if you've not watched them play, that is a very, like, four wide receivers deep with a quarterback that can make NFL throws. They're a fun team, and they were ranked eighth this week. I don't know if they shot up a little bit, but, dude, that's a fun-ass offense. If you've not seen them yet, they play Arizona now. They'll kill them this week. But they got Oregon coming up. But that's a fun team to watch, and Penix is having a hell of a year. Definitely a Heisman candidate.
Yeah, and their November is where they're going to make, you know, besides the matchup coming up, but overall, November is a tough slate for them. Mm-hmm. And I remember before the season started, I won't name the person, but I remember talking to someone. They're like, what the fuck is this fucking team doing near the top 10? What should they even be ranked? But yeah, I was talking to this old buddy of mine, and they just dogging him. And now every week he's talking about the squad and this quarterback, and it's crazy.
It is.
Speaking of lackluster, no, I'm just kidding. Lackluster though, USC lackluster against the Sun Devils that they got on their fifth quarterback. I think they had their punter playing quarterback. No, actually that dude was grinding actually in the game, and they had a good wide receiver, big ass tight end, wide receiver tight end. Well, I don't know what the hell that guy is, but he was doing damage. And you know, is it a look ahead stuff? Looking ahead, it's not like they already know that Colorado's not as big of a matchup as maybe we thought a couple weeks ago, especially if Hunter doesn't play. But you know, you can look at that if Hunter did randomly play, which, you know, he wants to play, but when you're talking about your liver, dude, you gotta make that, you gotta heal that thing. But, it does feel like they could maybe score a late touchdown on them the way USC's playing in that game. Look ahead, maybe it was. I don't know. That was kind of lackluster. And then LSU, lackluster against Arkansas, made some mistakes early. Just special teams again, like just random stuff, but they did get their shit together offensively. They're cooking now, but they had to grind one out against Arkansas, and maybe it was a look ahead to Ole Miss or whatever, but Those two games kind of really stood out as like, man, they didn't look, especially USC, because they haven't lost.
I would hope that was a look-ahead spot because Arizona State is probably arguably one of the worst teams in the country in a Power 5. They've been really bad this year, obviously, with the coach leaving and kind of some drama over there. And they've just been off to a bad start. They've had people get hurt. They're on, like you said, the fourth or fifth string quarterback. Maybe that's just one of those walkthrough games, kind of like, you know, Georgia was sleepwalking a little bit last week. I know, like, first half against South Carolina. I know South Carolina's a better team. But, you know, Texas against Wyoming, like, teams do have those halves where you are a bit slow, which it's college football. That'll happen every year. And when Chris and I are dead, it'll keep happening. Like, that'll always happen. But just the fact that they hung around for the game was a bit weird. Or maybe that was, you know, a motivational standpoint was clearly probably a different situation for the locker room. But you got the job done. You didn't blow it. Like, that would have been an embarrassing loss. That would have canceled out any chances of anything potentially fun at the end of the year for USC. So I was happy they got that win. And sorry, the other game you said was
LSU sneaking it out against Arkansas.
And man, you know, for Arkansas, like, Sam Pittman, he always has a hard schedule for his team, and I feel like this is the first year now in about like 3 or 4 years where they're just a bit off. Like, this is an Arkansas team where, again, to their credit, they don't shy away from people. It seems like their SEC schedule is always a bit tricky. Their non-conference, he always schedules people, it seems to be. So I think this is the first year, because they have had some guys go pro, where Arkansas is just not quite – I feel like they don't quite have the guys they normally did. You lost to BYU,
right.
You lost to LSU. And again, these aren't bad teams, but I think they're just a step down as to how good they've been lately. And yeah, they're just not quite the same squad who's been trending up. Maybe they've just leveled out this year, which happens in college football. But tip the cap to LSU, like, you're obviously you got a chance to win your division with Bama this year, so that would have been a tough one to blow. And if you're Brian Kelly, you know, that would have been one where, like, man, like, we can't let this one slip up. So they were able to hold on there, Chris.
Yeah. And then just as far as rank versus rank and the high profile stuff, Oregon State, Washington State. Washington State gets up early. And it was like 28-14 at half, I believe. They missed the field goal. They had a turnover on downs in the second half. But three straight touchdown drives to try to come back in that game, Oregon State, but they weren't able to do it. You know, we knew they were going to run the ball. They ran the ball 39 times, 242, four TDs at 6.2 a clip. But the other side, we knew it was run versus pass, and the pass from Cameron Ward, I just trusted him more, 404 and four tutties. But they ran the ball just enough attempts, and they did get over 100 yards. So, you know, that was key, I thought, to, you know, because they didn't lose the time of possession that bad. But Oregon State just couldn't quite, you know, get all the way into that, get all the way back into that game and get the job done. But I really felt like they were coming and they were going to do it.
Yeah, that was a game where, again, I was a little surprised with the spread, just from seeing the way Washington State played against Wisconsin, which I'm not saying it was a great win, but it was a win at home, which was a trending right way for their program. So to see that Oregon State was a 3-point favorite, that did surprise me. I wish I would have bet that game and taken the underdog because I would have profited.
I stayed away from it, too.
That was one of my regrets, yeah.
I did stay away. I was like, I wanted Washington State, but I was just like, nah, I can't do it.
So, yeah, this is the first year they've been, well, since Leach left, but they're having a really nice year. So credit to them. Obviously, that's a hard place to recruit because you're in, like, you know, bum league. I mean, you're in middle of nowhere. Pullman, Washington is probably, like, recruiting for K-State. Not much out there. But, hey, that was a good win. And if you're Oregon State, the beautiful thing about college football is I get to have a big game at home, which I think they'll be up for. Hey, for Washington State, dude, again, you're kind of around on cloud nine. Like, you have a coach who's had to come in there and kind of clean up after Leach left, and you had the quarterback with the depression and stuff. So you're kind of walking into a program that wasn't dead empty, but just needed a way to go in the right direction. And they're clearly doing that. And you have a quarterback who, for the college level, I don't know what his pro prospects are, but he's super athletic and is a mobile dual athlete quarterback, which again, college football, you can use your advantage. And I think that they're doing a great job of that so far. So yeah, I don't, all the years we've done a podcast, Washington State normally isn't ranked too often, or at least they haven't been for the last handful of years. So a credit to them. And, they're, well, actually, they only got, well, yeah, they got a nice looking schedule coming up. So we'll see how they continue to progress, Chris.
Yeah. And that Army 14.5, that we talked about last week, that came through the West Virginia was 4.5. And I liked that it ended at 6, from what I saw at the tip. So that worked out for me. Overall though, 3-3 on my bets this week. The plus, I bought like 4 extra points for Oregon. I only put like $20 on it, for the Buffs. Just thinking, oh, late touchdown, you know, that type of thing. That didn't work. And like I said, that Iowa, that did not work. That Notre Dame though, that worked. I picked Notre Dame. We both picked Notre Dame to win, I believe, but it was plus 4. So that shit worked out. I was like, hey, I'm good either way. I'm fine either way. We're good to go, you know. But I will say this. Is that the – yeah, because they kicked – they shouldn't have kicked the extra point. Because if that gets blocked, it's a tie game.
True. Yeah. I don't know why they even had to kick it.
Well, there's still 1 second on the clock.
Got you. Okay.
So they had to check that time and that's what it was. But
Sure.
Yeah, okay. I knew it was safe for a bet, though, either way. But that would have been talk about a crazy way to end. That would have been freaking really crazy, dude. And then my Gophers let you down, up 31-10, which is just – it's not going to happen. Like, the one thing about Fleck, and even kind of like Wisconsin, Iowa football – well, maybe not Iowa the last couple of years, but what we know to be Iowa football, when you're up 31-10 and you're – I mean, we got a freshman – back that had like 190 some yards. The dude just stood. We were just grinding them to death. So the game was done. I mean, there's no way we lose that game, right? That was not the case. They came back in that game, ended up winning the game. That one was an ugly one. That Wyoming Appalachian State, that was another close call that on paper looked like it was going to be fun. And it turned out Kansas State got a nice win over Central Florida, you know, after that loss last week. Or was it 2 weeks ago? Last week, right? With that long kick.
Yes.
Any other notes that you'd like to talk about before we get into this this week 5, sir?
Hey, the crappy game of the week.
Yes,
cash
sir.
That baby. Let's go.
Yes,
but
sir.
I watched that game because I did
back to 500, baby. Back to 500. Amen. We're not going anywhere.
I did bet Iowa State, man. That, no lie, that is 2 shit football teams. I'm happy your pick won. I'm happy my gambling won. But, dude, those are 2 teams who are not good at football. So
I couldn't do it with Iowa State this week. I just couldn't. I couldn't buy it.
God,
that week before, I was like, nah, I'm good. I just can't do it.
That was some garbage football I watched. But hey, when the garbage team you pick won. We can tolerate it. It's okay garbage. The garbage don't smell that bad. So, hey, Missouri, I still wish they fired their coach, but they beat Memphis by a touchdown. So Missouri's 4-0. So credit to them. And when I see
you want the coach fired.
Oh, I still can't stand Drinkwitz. Yes. I think the guy's a buffoon, but, I will be buying you a beer when I'm up in Minneapolis in 2 weeks, because yesterday to have the Gophers game followed by the Vikings heartbreak is a sport fan should not have to endure that with their heart. And then add on that my Cowboys game last week, the alcohol will need to be dispersed and drinked. So yeah.
They were already planning the parade in Dallas. It was going to go right Fort Worth, and then it was going to switch, and then it would go back. If it was going to be like a 35-mile, it was going to be a car parade. And yeah, man, I guess the parade's done now. They canceled. It's postponed.
I will say this: as much as I hate Dabo, my dislike for Mike McCarthy and lack of faith in him is higher than my hate for Dabo. If that tells you enough, as long as we've been friends, that says enough right there. But I will move on.
All right, so Friday night, we got Thursday night football back on. Could be some interesting stuff.
Hoorah.
But Friday night, we're going to talk about the big matchups, but Louisville at NC State, very good game. Cincy at BYU, both coming into the Big 12, both playing each other here. Kind of fun little matchup. That's the 9:15 Central time. That's going to be a really good game on the hardcore level. But Utah and Oregon State, like you said earlier, 3-point favorite at home is Oregon State. We know that, hey, they're gonna do a lot of the stuff, maybe without the defense, though, but they're going to try to run the you-know-what out of the ball. And we'll see if they can do it as consistently. Obviously, you know, when you look at Utah so far, Florida can run the shit out of the ball too, by the way. 51 yards per game they're only giving up. And that to me, that does say something because they've played some pretty quality teams so far. No killers or nothing like that, but quality teams. You know, I just – will they make enough pass plays if they don't have, you know, their guy? That's tough, and we know you've documented it well, especially the last couple of years, Oregon State at home. That's not you know, it just happens, you know. Remember last year with USC, they pulled it off randomly. Like, they're a good-ass, you know, program that's very undervalued, even though they lost – last week, it wasn't by much. What says you? I mean, does this just come down to Cam Rising playing or not?
I think I might bet this night because if Rising's out, I don't see how the hell Oregon State loses at home. Again, in college football, you sometimes got to look at who they played and what's going on. Oregon State comes off a tough loss, so they'll be motivated. They're at home. And this is a Utah team now who barely scored enough to beat Baylor, who scored one touchdown last week at home against UCLA, and you're playing a pissed-off, motivated team. Now you're on the road. Now, if Cam Rising plays, different story. But and so
and how many times can they score a touchdown early in games, too? You know, remember the Florida game is wide open. Like,
yeah,
that, you know, if that goes away, like you said, all of a sudden that's one less touchdown that you're getting.
Like, I think that, I mean, if Cam Rising's back, it's going to be 100%. Like, I don't think we're going to see a guy that's just going to come out there and blow the doors off people because he probably would be, like, I don't know.
They would already have played him if he's that close, right?
Yeah, and maybe you're saving him for this game, but, like, dude, that coach had no, like, UCLA is not a cakewalk. Like, yeah, I think I would just bet Oregon State, and if Cam Rising's out, I think that's a lock of a bet for me. If Cam Rising plays, I don't think Utah runs him out the gym. Again, I think these are two close teams. Yes, so I will be betting Oregon State on the assumption Cam Rising's out again, and hoping they win. If he plays and I lose my bet, so be it. But Oregon State's been having a good year. That Uiagalelei has found a better home at Oregon State than Clemson.
Yeah,
a little more comfortable. Oh. Yeah, the offense has been having a pretty good run, and the offense played good against Washington State last week. They did. They scored a lot of points in that game. They just gave up more. But yeah, this will be kind of a battle of two ground games, Chris. So you see the over-under is 45. Oregon State loves to run the ball. Utah loves to run the ball. So this could be a very low-scoring competitive game. But yeah, I'll be hammering Oregon State, and hopefully Rising's out, or else I'm going to have to wash my bet.
This is like the Big Ten West over here with this over-under in this one.
True.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
That's pretty crazy. So we're just going to go rank versus rank. Then we'll get into other stuff. I got, like I said, three against the spread to talk about, maybe some upsets. Of course, we got the crappy pick of the week. But we're just going to go down rank by rank. We'll just go off the time on Saturday. So okay. 2:30 Central, ABC, Texas, Kansas. Kansas is pretty much all offense. I like Texas in this one, not a big deal here. I'm not going on the edge, but that's 17 points. I think Kansas is more than capable of sneaking under that toe, my friend.
I agree with you on that, because remember, this is a KU team that beat Texas 3 years ago, which was, like, obviously a huge low for Texas and a pretty big high for KU as they've kind of rebuilt this thing. So, yes.
That was three years ago?
I think it was. What? Yeah, three or four. Yeah. So, I do think, yeah, I'm with you. I think KU's offense can hang in there. And again, ever since they beat Bama, well, I shouldn't say, well, I know they whooped, I know Texas whooped up on Baylor, but Texas was like in a one score game with Wyoming, like the late third quarter. So I don't think this Texas team is immaculate. I think they beat a weaker Bama team and that's kind of going to boost them, but KU's kind of caused Texas problems. Why? I don't know, but they have. So, I'm with you. I'll take the 17 with, hoping like if you lose, get down by 20 in the fourth quarter, like backdoor cover. Yeah. I'll take the Jacks with you on that.
Yeah. I just checked. It was 2 years ago, 57-56 overtime, dude.
Oh,
holy shit. I forgot that it was that high scoring, man.
Uh-huh.
Holy crap. I do like right when you said that, I was like, aha, Dan, that's right. That kind of sparked them as a program.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're not, you know, an awesome program, but it is fun to see them back. But yeah, I think they could sneak under there, but Texas does have a pretty damn good defense. So we got, you know, maybe they will contain enough, but I could just see, you know, Kansas slinging that thing around with that quarterback and wide receivers enough so to get it done. Number 13, LSU coming in to Ole Miss, 2.5-point favorites. That means they got to win by three. What do you think here, man? This is a tough one to call because neither of them have been playing their best football, especially LSU. Even in wins, they haven't last week.
Yeah. I think Ole Miss's defense is better than their offense. This one's weird. Obviously, Ole Miss at home will be helpful after losing to Bama. I think LSU's clearly got the more talented players, but what is LSU's best performance this year? Whooping up on Mississippi State, like, you know, and to credit, hard for them, they have back-to-back road games. You had to go to Arkansas. Again, there's so many parts of college football where, aside from the players on the field, like traveling and who you're playing, did the team you just play win or lose? If I had to bet this game, which I probably wouldn't, but if I had to make a pick, I will take – God, I'll take LSU. I do think that Ole Miss's offense has kind of gotten lucky a little bit. I mean, they were lucky to beat Tulane versus Tulane's backup. You struggled against Bama. I don't think they've quite found that rhythm with Jackson Dart. So I do think it'll be a lower scoring game. I would take the over-under of 64.5. I would take the under. I don't think this will be a shootout. But yeah, I'll sadly take LSU against Kiffin. I just think that LSU's got the better offense and enough to squeak this one out.
I might go over, but I got LSU, and I feel good about those points. And by the way, just to make it official, no rising Oregon State, rising Utah, I got it. Just because I actually realized I didn't actually make the pick, and I didn't want
to. Oh, okay.
But sure. LSU, I got LSU. I do think it may get – I'm going over. I'll go over in the points.
Oh, okay.
Because I do think that, you know, neither of them have a great defense or whatever. But I just think both can really explode on offense. LSU definitely is improving there. They've been putting up a lot of – but, you know, they've been giving up a lot of points too. And Ole Miss, I think they can run enough to on that LSU squad to kind of mix it up, hit some big plays. All right, so now ABC. The primetime game, Notre Dame at Duke. They got to turn right around. And this is one of those that I highlight here in my against the spreads. Well, I suppose Kansas too. 5.5 points at home. You know, Duke is looking damn good this year. They've obviously only played Clemson. And we know that was a bunch of coulda, woulda, shouldas in that game. But the key thing is they pulled away from them with all those errors they made. They make them pay for it, which, you know, last week they didn't make them pay for it, you know, all the way, Florida State. Whereas Duke, you're going to make those kind of errors? And given the errors were more intense in that game, but we're going to pull away from you. And that's what I liked about Duke. We saw them turn in the corner. This kind of feels like, what, 8 to 10 years ago? When they were getting the 9 and 10 wins, they could run the shit out of the ball. They got a young, or like not a young, but a solid quarterback to go against a more solid quarterback. Is this the time? Because they're both teams can stop the run to an extent. They're not great on it. I'm assuming they'll try to wear down Duke much like they did Ohio State for a while, Notre Dame. But this one's tricky, dude. This one's really tricky. And, yeah, Notre Dame will be pumped, but Duke's got nothing to lose right here. What says you about this matchup? I really are they going to let Hartman cook here in this game?
I think that if you look at how Duke's defense struggled against Clemson from, like, the Clemson's zero-yard line to Duke's five-yard line, they killed them and torched them. And right. I don't think, like, because you had four turnovers, like, in the red zone, and two were, like, inside the one-yard line.
Yeah.
So I do think you're going to have a pretty pissed-off, angry Duke team. Now, they could fall flat, but I don't think they will, because Notre Dame, as hard as their schedule is, they're not out the Final Four yet. They can't lose again, but they're hanging in there. So I just think that Duke defense will get exposed by a team in Notre Dame who will not have the mistakes that Clemson did. Because again, that Clemson game, I know I'm happy I won that bet, but
yeah,
a team rarely does have four turnovers in the red zone. Because besides that, they were moving the ball at will, and I just don't see how a Notre Dame team who has think offense is just as good as Clemson's, or well, you have a better
it's
quarterback.
Probably nine out of ten or eight out of ten that Clemson wins that game if they play 10 times.
So the 5.5 is always a weird point spread for like the Vegas.
Would you
zone
think of buying some points potentially? Or is it just leave Duke alone? That game with Clemson's messing up our heads.
No, I would take Notre Dame with 5.5. Obviously, I guess you'd hope it's standard 6 because 6 kind of gets into a more common number. But I would take Notre Dame just because that Duke defense. I mean, they got to prove it. And yeah, I would take the Iron Man. I'm picking a lot of teams. I'm fading Kiffin. I'm picking Notre Dame. But you might need to come check on me, Chris. We might need to have a intervention when I come and visit you in a few weeks because I'm doing shit I don't normally do. I don't know if it's a lack of, like, eating healthy or not drinking as much. Like, something's happened to me. I'm not proud of it.
I like the Irish to cover as well, but I am eyeballing that a little bit. But, yeah, I do think that we're inflating. Hey, Duke's solid, man. They started making the turn last year and whatnot. And they got a legit quarterback. He's solid, man. He is solid, good coach, all that good stuff. But, yeah, I agree. Unless you're going to buy some points, I probably would stay away from the Duke plus 5.5. I'd actually buy him.
I will take Duke, though, Chris. If Notre Dame does a 10-man defense.
What'd you just do?
I will pick Duke if Notre Dame does their 10-man defensive approach. If they want to try that out again, like, then I'll reconsider.
This is 7-man football, or what is it? 8-man football? 8-man football, right?
Uh huh. Yeah.
Small areas. We got some 8-man football way up north, my friend. And there's actually some linebackers and shit that have come out of that and went on. Another one I'm looking at here, two of them. South Carolina plus 12.5. This is against the spread stuff.
You beat me to it.
The Gamecocks 12.5 up to the Bulls. And then West Virginia, West Virginia underdog, they win. They're an underdog again, they win. They're now plus 11 against TCU. Are we sure that this isn't, I mean, is this last year or this year? I mean, they had a good win in this last, good for them. But they're not the TCU from last year, okay? Plus 11 with a team that can just run you to death and hold the ball. Just out of, I'm saying it right now, plus 11, easy with West Virginia, in my mind.
Well, I'll let you take that one because I haven't seen West Virginia play. I know they did beat Texas Tech. Texas Tech's having a fraudulent year, unfortunately, for them. But I do feel confident about South Carolina. This is a team who went into Georgia and was up at half, and the Tennessee team does not have the defense as Georgia does, and they're not going to murder Spencer Rattler. I do think that Tennessee, who, again, has issues, as you saw when Florida exposed them, I think they could win the game. And Spencer Rattler, that South Carolina team is a pesky team. So I would definitely take South Carolina plus 12.5 in Knoxville. Joe Milton is not quite the hype-up guy that they want to see yet. When you do, like, they see the ESPN films, they break the guy down, he's just not making throws with accuracy that people want from him yet.
He's a combine guy.
He can't develop into a stud, it could happen, but it's not there yet. So I would definitely, I'd maybe buy it up to get to 14 if that's not too expensive on your gambling site. But yeah, I would take the Gamecocks plus 12 and a half or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think you have the same kind of diagnosis of the West Virginia game too, who a scrappy team. They like to run. The more you run the ball, the less time you have. And that TCU defense is not what it was last year. They lost a lot of talent, as Dion and Colorado showed that week one. Both those spreads seem a little too high to me, my friend.
Now, Florida at Kentucky. Kentucky 2.5-point favorites. Kentucky could stop the run, though. And once you take the run out of it, we've seen what the Wisconsin quarterback does or doesn't do. That one kind of intrigues me. I don't know where to go on that one as far as a pick to who won or who win the game. Florida definitely, coming off a nice win and all that stuff and doing their thing. Well, 2 weeks ago, nice win, whatever. But that one is like, I want to watch that game. I'm going to stay away from it as of right now because, like I said, I don't know. Kentucky can stop the run. And I don't know. If this was 2 years ago, I'd be all on this. But it's not. Because Kentucky can run usually and stop the run.
Kentucky, they seem to have had they've in the past years they've had a stud running back and a really good defense. I mean, I know they've actually caused Florida a lot of hell. I don't know. I would lean towards Florida, just because I don't think this Kentucky team is quite as loaded as they've been.
Right.
A spread that stands out to me, and God, I don't like Kirby Smart, but his football team is a good team. Taking 14.5 points on the road is quite a bit, but Auburn, like, they got ran out the gym by Jimbo in the second half. So if you got ran out the gym by Jimbo's offense, like, I could easily –
It doesn't bode well.
This War Eagle team, I don't think they're a team of the past. Like, I think I would take Georgia minus four, maybe buy a half point to make it Georgia minus 14. This Auburn team is not good. Again, if Jimbo Fisher's offense can embarrass you at home, how are you going to do against Georgia? Unless they're sleepwalking. But I don't think they're going to sleepwalk 2 out of 3 games in a row because they sleepwalk in South Carolina. I think Georgia rolls. So maybe Georgia first half.
Especially if they do their 12-man on the field.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
We were talking about 10. Well, the coach got on the field too.
Oh, yeah. Jimbo's trying to be sneaky out there. I wish they would have ran into that guy. That would have been internet craziness. But I will take the Georgia Bulldogs, roof, against at Auburn. That Auburn team, I think they're in a rebuild. They always seem to have a new coach too, but and again, it's rare to take a team with over 14 points on the road, but yeah, I think the situation, I definitely would.
Yeah, I don't think that's really going too far out on the limb. I'm right there with you. Clemson coulda, woulda, shoulda. Well, they better get their shit together. Yeah, they're a 7-point favorite. I like them to win, but they better not mess around on the road against Cuse. Once you get them going, you just never know. Hardcore barn burner, Illinois, Purdue, dead even. Kind of interesting game there for me. And there's a variety of those type of games this week, Marshall, that are like, I don't know who's going to win that game. I'm definitely going to find out, or we're definitely going to find out. Boise State, Memphis, another game where you're like, that could be interesting. There was another one here. Where the hell did it go? I think I just... Michigan State, Iowa. That's going to talk about a slow pace. Where is he? 11.5 points. Actually, it went up a point. It went up a point since I looked at it yesterday. I'm West Virginia 11.5 on TCU. I know I'm talking it up too much. They're going to get beat by 30 now. But I don't know about that, man. I'm still kind of scratching my head. I'm not trying to. And last week they won without the quarterback that they actually want starting. That's actually was kind of like got me nervous all of a sudden when the quarterback didn't start. But, yeah, Illinois-Purdue, that's just a dead-even game. A lot of interesting stuff when it comes to this week, man. Any other items before we get to the crappy pick of the week?
Boise State going to Memphis. That should be a decent college football game. It's on ESPN2. Memphis minus 3.5. Boise's had kind of a – they've played almost every game they've played this year. It's been like a decent competition, so good for them for scheduling.
Yeah.
Uh, And Memphis, I still don't believe in that quarterback, so I'd stay away, but that should be a close one. And man, Texas Tech, you're 9.5-point favorites at home against Houston. You got to win some game. Like, dude, y'all have been having a lot of heartbreaks this year. You got to beat up good old Coach Dana Holgorsen if you're going to win one. So I would maybe look at Texas Tech because they're due for something, or else, I don't know, that something might be over.
We're going to be talking about that Oregon game for too long, you know what I mean?
Oh, and obviously, USC is a strong favorite, but USC Colorado should be fun. I wish Travis Hunter was playing.
Oh, yeah.
I think it'd be more fun.
I forgot that. Right. Yeah, that is that a sneak in? The theory from last week, could that apply here? Because that defense is not all that good. Well, the defense.
No.
Hold on. The defense actually does get after the quarterback, and they can't block, so that could mess up. But could they sneak in and get it to 22 or 23 or 21, you know, in the last couple minutes of the game?
Hey, USC just – they didn't beat Arizona State, but, you know, I mean, Colorado could easily cover, and they're back home in Boulder. Like,
right.
USC could easily – their defense – should Drew Sanders have no issue throwing the ball.
Flipping, so they're going to be pissed.
Yeah. Yeah, I would not bet USC minus 21.5. Hell no. Nope, not happening. I would take Colorado. You lose by 20, you can lose by 20 and look good. Like, over under 73.5. God bless. All right. So, for the Crafty Crap Pick of the Week, as I was telling my co-host before the show started, I normally have to, like, look really hard for a Crafty Crap Pick of the Week. This week there were four. Now, I'm not going to give them all. I'm not going to give them all four because I don't think that'd be fair, but there is a lot of shit teams playing shit teams. So if you can find out who is the better shit team, go ahead and pick, because almost all the point spreads are within five or less. But the one I chose, because I did watch this team play this past week, is a 1 p.m. Central Time. It is in at Alumni Stadium in Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts.
Uh-oh.
This is not the red bandana game, because they had that one. That's when they almost beat Florida State, but they didn't. So it is on the CW network. So if you're watching Vampire Diaries and, you know, whatever other teenage.
That was that Live Golf out of CW, didn't it?
So, yeah, if you want to watch Live Golf or teenage high school girl shows or football, Virginia travels to Boston College. BC's -3. Both these teams really do suck. I suppose you could say, well, hey, Boston College always beat Florida State. Well, yeah, but besides that, they've looked like trash. So, Chris, take it away in a truly impressive CW network football showdown.
Oops, sorry, I had my stuff muted. All right, ACC, crafty, crappy pick of the week here, and it fits. You are right. It does, definitely fits, which is like, what the hell were you doing, Florida State? What's wrong with you?
True.
But and the funny thing is, they were up, too. It wasn't like, you know, it was a grind of a game the whole time. They just got all of a sudden, it was like, whoa, dude, you're going to lose this game, maybe. They can both air it out. Neither of them can really stop the pass. That's usually a staple when it comes to the crafty, crappy pick of the week. Same with the rushing yards, 188 for the Eagles. And the Cavaliers, 178. That's a lot of yards to give up on the ground. But the key difference here, not just the Florida State stuff, right, which, you know, lends itself to for me picking them, but you can only run the ball for, like, it's like my, besides this last year, the Vikings, or last week, the Vikings were, like, franchise low, 69 yards through two games for rushing, set almost just short of 80 yards rushing. And it's not like you're putting up 310 through the air or something like that. Boston College isn't far behind with it. So I think running the ball, protecting the ball, which look at the quarterbacks. One's got six picks, one's got two picks. But, you know, they were that Castellanos or whatever. He runs in – he's a do-it-all. And if you think you're going to come into Chestnut, Massachusetts – and pay $12 on Vivid Seats and run them out. You're not going to run them out the gym. But I'm going the Boston. I'm going Doug Flutie, just a little preview. Boston College, I was going to say War Eagle, but we'd lose fans at that. Boston College Eagles, the old school Big East squad, they're going to get the dub. The home team wins, my friend. The Cavaliers are going to stay over.
All right. So in the famous alumni battle, Edgar Allan Poe went to the University of Virginia. I didn't know they had college.
That's a strong start. That's a strong start. Well, especially in that area that, you know, that's where the most population was in those areas on that East Coast area, you know.
The dude was born in 1809. He died in 1849.
There was a lot of population in that area, you know, comparatively for the rest of the
country. Man, that is absolutely insane. So Edgar Allan Poe went there, Robert F. Kennedy, Tina Fey, Katie Couric, Ralph Sampson. Man, okay, so UVA has got a pretty decent Dawn Staley, who's a great women's basketball coach.
Did you hear what you just said? That's more than decent, man. That's a fact, dude.
Yeah, but alumni battles are going to go pretty close. Okay, so let's see who BC's got. BC's got Bruce Pearl, kind of a scumbag basketball coach. The man wins, but he's a little bit shady. Luke Kuechly, a great football linebacker. Bill Romanowski, a hothead, great football linebacker. Let's see here. They also have Amy Poehler, Matt Ryan, Doug Flutie, and Jared Dudley. Huh.
Oof. You know, sports, Boston College got it, I think. But, man, the layers of everything. That's – okay, I was wrong.
But the fact that you have Edgar Allan Poe, the fact that he went to that school, like, dude,
And Kennedy.
And then Ralph Sampson?
All purpose I can give Virginia, but athletes, I forgot about a couple of those.
But this is an all purpose alumni because there's been years where I may have chosen a college due to a female adult movie actress who, you know, I'm not perfect, but, you know, it's a full alumni battle. So we're doing full alumni battle here. I'm going to side with UVA. So my co-host is picking BC. For the alumni battle, Edgar Allan Poe just automatically wins it. He trumps it all. So, speaking of Trump, there's a Republican debate on this Wednesday. I got to watch that comedy show because I heard the first one was absolutely hilarious. So, I'm going to get some popcorn and take notes for – oh, man, anyways. That'll be fun.
And that'll wrap up our political crap for the whole year.
So, on that note, thanks always for the support. We appreciate you. We'll be back next week. We will have a recap because no matter what, as my co-host always says, college football has the best regular season of any sport, and we'll get to see it again on Saturday. Actually, Thursday and Friday as well. Bet Oregon State Friday. I'm out.